Father, thank you that we can sing that you can have it all. We thank you, Jesus, that your name is above every other name. And Father, this morning, as you continually train our hands for war, we want to thank you as your Holy Spirit shares with us your battle plan, your answer for our lives, your answer for our communities, for our nation. And we want to thank you that you are putting, in a sense, time aside to share with us things that is going to really help, is going to bring breakthroughs, is going to bring about tremendous revelation of who you are. So we thank you as you help us to be established in the reality of your Son's death and resurrection. So we thank you as you share, and we give you the praise and glory that we can be called your children. You have poured your love over us. We want to thank you for the miracle of rebirth, the miracle of being born again, the miracle, Father, of this new nature that you've given us, the miracle of being set free from the power of sin. There's so much that you wanted to share that will enable us to be established in the reality of your Son's death and resurrection. So thank you as you teach us, as your sons and daughters, how to be your son and daughter in your Son Jesus, and how to live on this earth at the same time, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Audrey. I'm going to just read again that first scripture in Psalm 144 so that we have just know where we're going this morning. Again, as I shared, this is now David before he's about to face Goliath, the giant. This is a great battle. The whole Israel army is intimidated. The enemy are brave and they're shouting because they've got this giant, this secret weapon, Goliath. But David had a secret weapon, God. And so, as this before he goes out to face the giant, he's now worshiping God. And this is a song that he sang. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. And then he carries on in this whole prayer. But it's that, particularly that first few verses there, that I believe our Father wants to just help us to understand something this morning. Now, to put this into the journey of where we are going, I've shared this before, a few weeks back, but just before Pentecost, that Friday and the Saturday was, I just knew that there was like, you know, Satan comes to steal, rob, and destroy. And I knew there was this spirit of death that was really coming and wanting to sort of take life. And Sunday morning when I woke up, I was experiencing this place where I knew that the spirit of death was very involved, and I just wanted to sort of, okay, it's time to just surrender and leave. It's better the other side. But in that, the Holy Spirit said, get up. And so Sunday, as you know, that Pentecost Sunday was, for me, it was like God was not here. It was a very, very, very tough Sunday morning. And so Monday, as I'm with the Father and I'm asking the Father, what is actually taking place? And that's when he gave me the scripture, and he said to me, spoke to my spirit very clear, he's training our hands, or my hands, for battle. And I instantly knew that something's importance is happening and is about to happen, that we need to be trained by our Father on how to walk in the victory. And this is what this is all about now. As part of the lessons that the Father is busy teaching me about the way He's training us to be able to walk in this season that we have now entered in and entering into, and we're going to see much, much more. So Pentecost, as we know, it's really about the promise of the Holy Spirit and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And so the Spirit of death was trying to put and damper on the Spirit of life. Okay? And was trying to be actively involved in what God was to do. But all things work out for the good. And so part of my calling, I have to experience something for the benefit of the body of Christ. So I have to learn, I've got to experience something so that I know and learn so that I can be involved in leading and doing what I need to do to help the body of Christ. And so we know now that Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 1 speaks very beautifully about that we have the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus that now works powerfully within us. And so every time we notice there that where the Holy Spirit is working, we notice there that there's always an attempt by Satan to destroy. We can go right back to the Garden of Eden, two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here, Adam and Eve, they're walking in life, eating, participating in the life from God. And that what Satan come, he's like, steals, robs, and destroys. Holy Spirit is moving there. The Holy Spirit is operating over there. And here we see there how it deceives them. And suddenly, no longer they're separated from the Spirit of life. And now they're participating with the law of death. Okay, so that's the reality. We see that, for instance, with Moses, anointing of God upon Moses to be able to be involved in his destiny of delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. What happens is Pharaoh says, "You've got to destroy all the newborn males." The spirit of death, all the time trying to prevent the promises of God from becoming a reality. Got to realize God is training our hands for battle, because the demonic realm will always try and put to death the promise of God. Okay, so we've got to understand the battle that we have entered into. Another good example is David and King Saul. David's anointed by God to be part of the answer for Christ to be born eventually over there. And what does Saul try to do? Trying to kill David. The spirit of death is operating all the time to try and destroy the anointing, to try and destroy the move of the Holy Spirit, to try and destroy and stop the promise of God becoming a reality. God has called, God has got promises for our lives. We've got to understand the reality of the war that we're in. So God is training us. And I think the most important example is the birth of Jesus Christ. What takes place straight away there again, King Herod there, let's go and destroy all the males all the time. So, we need to know how to fight. We need to have our Heavenly Father training us. And that's why we got to go back when God started to share with us the reality of His fatherhood, because it's now as a father He wants to train us how to do battle His way. Okay, so we're not getting trained by church, we're not getting trained by books, we're not getting trained by anything like that. Our Heavenly Father is training us. So it's important for us to pay particular attention to the Holy Spirit opening up scriptures now. Then you know our Heavenly Father is training our hands for battle. Okay, and so that is where we are at the moment. Now what's so important for us is to understand there that the new covenant and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. We cannot isolate the reality of what this new covenant is all about from Holy Spirit. And we notice there the prophets prophesied that. So in Ezekiel, that famous portion in Ezekiel 36, let me read there. And This is a prophecy that's being released to the family of God, the Israelites. And he says over there, I will take you out from the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and will bring you back into your own land. This is a promise. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So this is part of the reality of prophets prophesying the new covenant that is about to take place in the near future. Although there was a partial fulfillment because the Israelites came out of captivity, and we see that. So, but we notice over here that where there's a covenant being made, there is the Holy Spirit involved with the covenant. We notice, you can also, in those who are writing down, Jeremiah 31 verse 33, and another one is in Hebrews 8 verse 10. So when we go to Hebrews in chapter 9, and I'm going to read there in verse 14, speaking about the blood of Jesus Christ, speaking about Christ, the mediator of a new covenant. And we carry on, and let me read there verse 14. This is about now the blood of Jesus that cleanses, and the writer's comparing the Old Testament sacrifice with the sacrifice of Jesus. But notice here, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Okay, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal life, the inheritance, now that Christ has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. And then Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, here we notice something very important, and he's speaking in the context of the new covenant, what Christ being the mediator of this new covenant, and he says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. Very powerful, very strong words that God is sharing with you and I this morning. In understanding the reality of the blood of Jesus Christ, understanding the reality of Holy Spirit, and tremendous honor and valuing the blood, the covenant that we have in Jesus. So as we've been looking at the covenant recently, I mentioned there that the covenant is the terms and condition in which God relates with man, and man is able to relate with God. So when God spoke for instance, Abraham, about making a covenant with Abraham, the terms and condition was, Abraham, you believe, and just follow and walk faithfully with me. You believe. That was the terms and condition that God would be relating, because now God credited Abraham as righteous, and Abraham will just continue to walk in simple faith, and that was the conditions, the covenant. And the promise was, you will be a blessing to all nations. But the terms and conditions was faith. Okay. To simply believe. Then when God came to Moses, and now God's going to now start relating with man differently. So God makes a covenant with the people of Israel, because now they are a nation, and he now begins to make a covenant. So God is saying, I'm going to now give you the terms and conditions on how I'm going to be relating with you as my chosen race, and how you're going to be relating with me as the chosen race. And so God begins to share with them the Ten Commandments. He then begins to share with them all the sacrifices and the clothing and the cleansing and all the different laws that came through. And you're saying to the guys, this is the terms and conditions of this covenant. This is how I'm going to relate with you. You obey my 10 commandments, I will bless you. If you don't obey, then you receive the curses. These are my terms and conditions. Now you, this is how you're going to relate to me. You are going to relate to me by obedience, and if you mess up, you're going to be coming through the animal sacrifice system so that you can be atoned and receive forgiveness. This is the terms and conditions how we will be relating now for this period of time. And then comes our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he teaches us about the communion and the Last Supper, and Paul also in 1 Corinthians 10, when he speaks about the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is my body that's been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he carries on and he gives thanks for the blood of Jesus, the wine. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant for the remission of your sins. So now we're starting to see something very profound, because in the old covenant under Moses, an animal for the Day of Atonement, an animal had to be slaughtered, because it had to be slaughtered, it had to be broken in order to get its blood out from it for the atonement, because there's no forgiveness without the blood. So in order to get the blood out of that animal had to be slaughtered as part of the terms and conditions. And so Jesus, his body had to be broken. He had to be crucified. He had to be whipped. He had to be broken so that the blood within him, the pure sinless blood within him, can come from him to make atonement for you and I. And so now we have this incredible reality of the blood of Jesus that has made the atonement for our forgiveness of sin, cleansing us from our conscience, from acts that lead us to death. Remember the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Now we've got a conscience, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And no matter how hard we try to do the good things, we keep on falling because of the power of sin within us. Now Jesus' blood frees us from that guilty conscience, frees us from that law that's operating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we're back into the reality of life. His blood cleansed us from those knowing the good and evil, our guilty conscience. The blood of Jesus has washed us free from those acts that brought us to that place of condemnation, of knowing the difference between right and wrong. So we have this incredible new covenant that our Lord Jesus has made for you and I. And then the Father starts to speak to us and he says, now I need to train you. I need to train you for this battle. Because the Spirit of God is going to be moving tremendously from now onwards. We're going to start to see the great working of Holy Spirit. You've got to understand that as the Holy Spirit is starting to move powerfully, whether it's in our own lives, in our families, in our community, in our nation, you've got to understand that there will always be the demonic realm that will try and put to death the move of God. And we need to be aware of this as we pray for the believers in our nation. We need to be aware of this as we receive the promise of God for our nation, as we receive the promise of God for our towns or families, whatever it may be. We need to be aware that every promise that God makes, it's a yes in Christ Jesus, but there is an enemy that will try and steal and rob and destroy, so that you and I will go into doubt and unbelief and get discouraged and just give up and not persevere and run the race to receive the promise. So the righteous will live by faith. So we need to learn from our Father this morning as he starts to share with us, guys, what's going to be the most important weapon right now that you, that we need to be established in. is to be rooted and established in the reality of the new covenant. So the question that he asked me was, where is my faith rooted and established? That's a good question. See, my faith has to be anchored into something. Our faith has to be anchored into something right now in this battle strategy of our Heavenly Father for us to advance and be victorious in this time that we've entered into. Because my faith can be anchored in my doubt. I can be fully persuaded in my doubt. Where is our faith anchored? See, and that's now very, very important for you and I to think and ask, where is my faith anchored? Is it anchored in everything else? Or is it anchored in the reality of the blood on the covenant that God has made through Jesus Christ? Is my faith anchored in that? That this now, through Jesus, is the way the Father will be relating with us, and how we're going to be relating with the Father? Through the blood of Jesus. See, we need to get to the place now where our faith is anchored into something, and that something is Jesus Christ. It's His covenant, it's the blood, it's the power of the cross. See, God, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, says something very, very important for us right now. He says, the writer is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the writer writes over there, in the past, God spoke through the prophets in various ways. He spoke to the people through various ways, as prophets, and some had dreams, etc. But in these past days, in these last days, He has already spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Father's battle strategy, the Father's training us to realize that He has already spoken everything that we need to know. He has spoken in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So that the cross of Christ will not be denied of its power. So that we will not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. But my faith can be rooted in my own ability to communicate. And that can be flawed like crazy. My faith can be rooted in what somebody else's ability. No, no, no. All of that has to be put aside. We need to make sure by this power of the Holy Spirit that our faith is rooted and established in the reality of Christ's death and His resurrection. I've shared this many, many times. When Zuma was going for his second term, and I'm walking and I'm asking, Father, what's the answer for this nation? And he was very, very clear, very, very sharp. The answer for this nation is the centrality of the cross of my Son Jesus, His death and His resurrection. He hasn't changed the battle strategy. He hasn't changed. He has spoken through His Son Jesus. But what He's making us aware is, where is our faith rooted in? What is our faith rooted in? And that is crucial right now, because faith comes from hearing. So this is not something that we can learn. This is something about being in the presence of God, in the intimate relationship with our Father, asking Him and Him by the Holy Spirit revealing to us, so that faith comes from hearing Him speak. So our faith is rooted in the reality of He has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what He's training us. So we will not be moved from that place. Very profound truth that Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, because he's dealing with the children of God that took hold of Jesus. Their faith was rooted in Jesus. Their faith was rooted in the reality of this new covenant, the new way that our Father is communicating and relating with mankind, and how we can relate with our Heavenly Father, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So that's how we relate with our Father, based on what Jesus has done. That's why there's no condemnation. That's why the power of sin is broken. That's why there's a resurrection life. That's why we have the Holy Spirit within us. All reality of the new covenant. And Paul is writing and he's saying, guys, why are you listening to these people that are trying to bring in the old Moses law back in? You've got to understand, the moment you begin to take hold of the law of Moses once again, you're now stepping away from the reality of the new covenant, and you've removed yourself from grace, and Christ has no effect upon your life anymore. So we want to do a battle. We want to be involved in the great move of the Holy Spirit. We want to be involved with our Lord Jesus establishing His kingdom. We want to be involved with the heartbeat of our Father for the nation. We need to be sure that we are rooted in the reality. We're standing firm in the reality of the covenant that He has made through His Son Jesus Christ. The power of His blood. The power of His death and resurrection. So that we will not be moved from the effect, the benefits of Jesus, the victory of Jesus. Otherwise, we'll be trying in our own strength, and we'll be contradicting not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Because the new covenant and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. We need to be established. And so again, where is our faith anchored? In what is our faith anchored in? That challenged me. And as God has been training my hands for battle, I have found a faith that I've never known before. I have found a confidence in God's promise that I've never had before, as I'm having now. You see, because when our faith, because it comes from God and it's established in His Son Jesus Christ and what He has done, the authority, the power, the victory, the yes in Him and the amen is in Him, it's guaranteed. And that alone, just believing and standing firm in that alone, deals with the spirit of death that tries to steal and rob the promise of God for our lives, for our town, for our nation. The power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we speak about faith being fully persuaded. So if I look at 1947, the promise of God for 1947, my faith is so rooted in the reality of the covenant that God has made through His Son Jesus, that nothing, no matter what happens, it doesn't move me from the assurance and the reality of God's promise. And when I get worn out and tired, because we're moving and we get worn out and we get tired, I know the reality where I lean on Jesus and I say, Jesus, You've got to carry up this next step because I'm just too tired. And I know the reality of my Lord Jesus carrying me and we're going forwards. So I know something about the footprints in the sand. And just the one set of footprints. And we're going to learn to be carried by the mighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ when we are weary. When we are worn out, when we're tired, when we're getting discouraged. We need to learn, as David came before facing the great battle and he just spent time in the presence of God, just worshiping Him, just marveling at who He is, to be strengthened by God, to be encouraged by God. It's part of His battle strategy, training our hands for war. So guys, where is our faith? What's it established in? What's it placed in? And this is going to be a great separation in our nation amongst the believers, because that's what's going to be shaken. so that what's left is pure gold faith, rooted, established in the covenant that God has made through His Son Jesus Christ. And nothing will move us from that. It's anchored, it's established, it's rooted. And that's why Paul prays. He says, Father, by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, enable your children to be able to grasp the depth, the width, the height, the length of the love of Jesus Christ, so that we may be rooted and established in His love. New covenant. So we need to start thinking differently. We have to start thinking a little bit on the reality of Jesus. The covenant that you made means this is how the Father will relate to me through you. And I relate to the Father through you. What does that mean? So this is the time where you and I need to spend time and we're starting to search. Father, show us the depth. Take us into the reality. Take us into the depth of the new covenant. Take us out of the superficial understanding of this. Take us deeper that we can be established in the reality of this covenant, that we can be people standing, anchored, secure. No longer just, so what do they say? Fluff. Christian fluff. But mighty men and women, children of God. So He's teaching us. So this is a few weeks. We've got a short time now to really get more established in the new covenant, understanding the benefits, understanding what Christ has done. And the covenant and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. Cannot emphasize that enough. So now we have to learn to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We have to be yielded so that the law of the Spirit of life is working, appropriating the benefits of Christ's blood, the broken body. So when we see and we hear things taking place, we have to be established in the fact of the covenant, so that our prayers have the authority, our prayers have the power. And we're not established in doubt and unbelief. We're not established in what the words of the politicians say. We're not established in other people's opinions. We're not established in any of that. We are established in what God has said in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So, that's at the moment what our Father wants us to be established in. He's training our hands for battle. So what promises have God shared with you? You're ready for training. He's an awesome Father. I just love the way that our Father shares with us. He loves us. Jesus says, my kingdom is going to advance. Nothing's going to stop it. And we are in His kingdom. So He's saying, guys, you're part of something that I spoke many, many years ago about the kingdom coming out of the rock, everlasting, growing, 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 destroying all these other kingdoms. We are a priesthood, a kingdom, royal nation. We're part of something great. He's redeemed us by His blood and made us into a kingdom and priests so that we may reign on earth. And that reign on earth is a now reality. It's not a future reality in the Greek tense. We have an awesome God. Amen. So this morning, the communion is important for us. In whatever the way God has spoken, but the body of Christ broken so that His blood can be released and make atonement for you and I. So we're doing this in remembrance of Him, and it's important because Jesus says, as you do this, you're proclaiming You're proclaiming my death. You're proclaiming the new covenant reality. You're proclaiming the power of the cross. You're decreeing it in the action of eating. So it's an incredible prophetic proclamation and declaration. Jesus, you are the answer for my nation. He's awesome. Amen. So Father, thank you as you train our hands for battle. Thank you, Father, that no matter when we look where you've placed us, I think of the schools, I think of the workplaces, I think wherever we may be in our communities, our neighbors, you are showing us something so, so important, how to be rooted and established in your Son Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, the pioneer of our faith. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your blood and the joy that you have made the new way in which our Father deals with us. And it's such a joy to know that there's no condemnation. It's such a joy to know that we have been justified. It's such a joy to know that we have entered into the throne room of grace. It's such a joy that we have received Holy Spirit. It's such a joy through you, Jesus, that we have received your righteousness. What a privilege, what a joy. It's such a joy, Holy Spirit, that you are in us, the mightiness of God within us, the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the understanding of God's ways, the thoughts of God. You make it known to us. Now we relate so differently to you, Father, to you, Lord Jesus, because of Holy Spirit within us. So we want to thank you as you train us, as you lead us, that we can really experience what it is to be led by you, Holy Spirit, as sons and daughters of the living God. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for a time as we just break open and we eat this communion meal. It's such a joy that the blood, but yes, also the Spirit of grace. You are the Spirit of grace. And we want to thank you that we will not insult you. We will not stample on you. We will not treat it with contempt, but we are people that value and love it because of what your love for us. So we want to thank you this morning that we can eat and drink in the midst of our enemies, getting a battle strategy on you, Lord Jesus, because you came and destroyed the works of Satan. And it's in you what you have done in your death and resurrection in destroying the power of sin and the works of Satan so that we can begin to see a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. But I know, Lord Jesus, as you shared earlier this morning, I know that as we now entered into this understanding and growing in the understanding of being rooted in the covenant that you are the mediator of, then there's a great promise where you said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of the unbelief. So we thank you. We receive, Holy Spirit, your ministry to bring tremendous conviction upon the world of the unbelief, not believing in Jesus Christ, so that they can come to the place of repentance and getting the revelation of Jesus. So we thank you as you do this. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We just so welcome your ministry in our communities, in our families. We welcome your ministry in our nation. We're so thankful that you are here because of the covenant, the promise of the covenant in Jesus Christ. So we receive, Holy Spirit, your life. We receive all your incredible works. We receive your incredible manifestation in all the different ways. And we want to thank you for a move in the family and us as the body of Christ, where we are so yielded to you that whatever you're wanting to do, you can do it through our lives. So as we sang early on, you can have it all, Lord. You can have it all as we surrender to you. So Jesus, you said to the Father, those sacrifices, those bull, that blood could not deal with the sin. It could not deal with the consciences. It could not deal. But you then said, but Father, a body you have prepared. And so you came as a man so that your body could be broken, so that your blood can be spilt, so that we can be redeemed, atoned for, saved, delivered. And as we eat and drink this morning, Jesus, we want to thank you for what you have done. And I'm asking today that the depth of our relationship through you to the Father and Holy Spirit will be so much deeper, so much more meaningful, such revelations that you share with us, Father, as we go forth. So I want to thank you today that there's a sensitivity to know, Holy Spirit, you're working within us as you share with us the very deep things of our Father so that we may have the mind of Christ. And we receive that, and we thank you for the promise, Father, of Holy Spirit within us. Wow, I thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, where this morning as we drink and eat, where there has been a dullness, where there has been hurt, where there has been things in our life where somehow that noise is so much greater than Holy Spirit's voice. I want to thank you, your blood, as we drink, we receive the power of your blood, the cleansing power of your blood, Jesus. And I just release the power of your blood cleansing, removing, as we shared the other night, the stickiness of the enemy's words, the stickiness of every demonic attack, the stickiness, the poison of the fiery darts of Satan. And I thank you for the releasing this morning, Jesus, as we by faith drink and eat. We honor you for that. And then the broken lives, Father. Your Son was broken. So today we stand in the gap for the broken lives. In the body of Christ and in this nation. Because in Jesus is wholeness. And we take hold of your brokenness, Lord Jesus, and we appropriate the brokenness of a nation. And we thank you that that brokenness is buried in that incredible tomb of yours. And we thank you as that brokenness is buried with you of a nation. Out of you, Jesus, rises a new nation. Out of you, Jesus, rises a new man in Christ Jesus. Out of you, Lord, thank you. And we receive that and we just speak it over South Africa in Jesus' name. And then all the angels that have been released, we welcome the ministry of the mighty angels of God to come and help us here, the body of Christ. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your work. And we receive all the incredible help from your heart, Father, in helping us here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your name be hallowed and honored, because you are our heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.